Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into, well, a pretty fascinating question. Imagine you're learning something new, right? But it's not just about, you know, picking up knowledge. It's about immediate, flawless execution. A situation where just one mistake, it could cost way more than money. It could cost lives or wreck a critical mission. How do you even design learning for that kind of pressure? We're stepping into the world of someone who seems to have mastered this exact challenge. Ed Reif. He's a learning architect and an instructional systems designer. Now, those titles might sound a bit formal, but they go way beyond just like creating course materials. He designs the whole ecosystem for how people get and use critical skills, often skills that are literally life-saving. Ed's whole career, it seems, is built around creating learning systems right at the edge of uncertainty, his words, where mistakes cost more than money and learning has to land on the first try. He works in these incredibly high-stakes fields, like defense, maritime, biopharma, places where, as he puts it, precision isn't optional, it's survival.
Exactly. And our mission today for this deep dive is to really unpack Ed Reif's philosophy. It's quite unique. He talks about not just designing content, but architecting systems of confidence. That phrase really sticks. So we'll be pulling out the core principles behind that mindset and looking at some surprising applications from his really diverse background and his portfolio. And hopefully by the end, we can encourage you, the listener, to maybe think about how this kind of high stakes approach could apply to your own challenges, you know, in learning or development, pushing beyond just getting information across to ensuring that genuine first try effectiveness. You might find you need that mindset more often than you think.
Okay, let's unpack that phrase then. Architects, systems of confidence. It definitely sounds like a big shift from just designing content, but doesn't real learning often involve, you know, a bit of trial and error, making mistakes? How do you build a system that demands first try effectiveness without, I don't know, maybe stifling that natural learning process or even creating a kind of fear around messing up?
That's a crucial question. And it gets right to the heart of Ed's whole philosophy. Fundamentally, the idea is, well, the learning has to be spot on the first time it's applied because the consequences are just too high. Simple as that. Sometimes when you're talking about lives or critical operations or patient safety, there's just no room for an oops, let me try that again moment in the real world application. So the trick isn't really about stifling trial and error during the learning phase itself. It's more about making absolutely sure that by the time you apply that knowledge in a live high-stakes scenario, you've already mastered it. The practice needs to be intense and realistic. And that's where he draws this really clear line between just delivering content, like say a document or a lecture, and building these systems of confidence. For him, it boils down to ensuring the right knowledge is in the right hands at the right moment. It's not just that the information exists somewhere, it's making sure it's deeply ingrained, it's actionable, and it's right there, ready to go exactly when you need it most, especially under pressure.
Right, so it's making sure the knowledge is really internalized, actionable, ready when needed, not just something you sort of covered once. And the system itself, it sounds like it has to be robust enough to build both the competence and the confidence before that critical moment arrives, not during it.
Exactly. And you can see why this is so vital in fields like defense, maritime, and biopharma. In defense, precision means mission success, and it means keeping people safe in, frankly, hostile environments. In maritime, it's about navigating complex, dangerous situations safely, often miles from any support. One wrong move could be catastrophic. And then in biopharma, you're looking at incredibly strict compliance. Think FDA, ISO standards. Errors there could have massive public health consequences. So in all these areas, things like operational reality, compliance, absolute precision, they aren't just nice to haves. They're non-negotiable. It's not about passing a quiz. It's about flawless execution when it counts. And maybe as you're listening, it's worth asking yourself, what areas in your own life or work demand that kind of precision? Where do you need learning to land perfectly on the first try, you know, with no room for error? Thinking about those moments can really bring Ed Reif's philosophy into focus.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. He's worked in such different high-pressure places. How did he first start applying this in defense, for instance? You mentioned Raytheon Intelligence and Services. What kind of challenges was he tackling there?
Yeah, Raytheon. A key project there involves supporting something called the Warrior Training Alliance. This is our big program, really comprehensive, aimed at getting service members ready for complex operations. His job was essentially translating these highly technical systems, things like combat platforms, mission operations, tactical workflows, into training that was genuinely field ready. Just picture it. Soldiers, airmen, sailors, operating incredibly sophisticated military tech. They just can't afford to be fumbling with manuals or trying to recall some abstract concept when they're out there. So Ed's work involved taking all that complexity and making it immediately usable, whether personnel were deployed in, say, Doha or even Kabul. It wasn't about just clicking through slides in a classroom. He emphasized it was about keeping people alive and effective in hostile environments, constantly balancing that strict compliance piece with the, well, the harsh realities of operational pressure.
Wow. That's a heavy responsibility. The pressure must be unbelievable. But how do you make sure learners feel confident facing that, not just burdened by the stakes? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it's a critical part of the architecture he talks about. It's not just delivering information, it's actively building that genuine confidence. Often that means things like breaking down really complex tasks into smaller, manageable chunks, components that can be deeply practiced, building muscle memory, building the right mental models. The confidence comes from that repeated, realistic practice, not just from, you know, understanding the theory.
That makes sense. Yeah. And it really hammers home that this kind of precision isn't only about combat scenarios. It's about saving lives in other critical ways, too.
Yeah.
But then, okay, he goes from that highly regulated military world to something completely different, though still high stakes, biopharma.
Yeah.
At Abbott Laboratories. Building e-learning specifically, that feels like a massive shift. Combat gear to sterile labs. How does the same philosophy even apply there?
It is a massive shift on the surface, definitely. But that underlying philosophy, precision is survival, it stayed absolutely central. At Abbott, his work focused on things like E-beam and gamma radiation development programs. Now, these are critical processes for sterilizing medical devices, ensuring product safety before they ever get near a patient. So here, the stakes were less about immediate physical danger, maybe, and more about ironclad regulatory compliance. The training he designed, it had to be able to, quote, withstand the scrutiny of the FDA and ISO standards. That's a high bar. He actually described the e-learning he built there in a fascinating way. He said, every module, every interaction, every quiz was a line item in a larger system of trust ensuring sterile products move safely from lab to patient. Powerful way to think about it, isn't it? Every bit of learning contributing to this chain of trust that ultimately impacts people's health. Precision, clarity, absolutely paramount to prevent any kind of contamination or procedural error.
A system of trust. I like that. Framing e-learning that way really brings home the weight of what's being learned. It's not just another online course. Okay, but then experience number three. We're talking about a cruise ship, the Crystal Serenity, where he was the World Cruise Coordinator. A floating city. How on earth do you design learning systems for that environment?
Huh. Yeah, it sounds completely different again, doesn't it? But this experience, it offered another vital lesson, a different angle on instructional design. Think about it. When you're out at sea, you could be effectively cut off from the world for periods. So training needs to be immersive, immediate, and global. It wasn't just about, say, guest enrichment programs, although that was part of it. It was about engineering live, adaptive learning experiences in a floating city. Imagine needing to train staff on new emergency procedures or cultural sensitivities for the next port, maybe new service protocols, all while sailing the globe, possibly with spotty internet, no static classroom. The key insight he took from this was really profound, I think. He said, learning is never about the platform. It's about the people and the environments they inhabit, the context, the immediacy, that human element. That's what drives effective learning, whether you're on a giant ship or in a high-tech lab.
You know, that actually reminds me of trying to teach my nephew something complicated while we were stuck in traffic once. Totally different stakes, obviously. But that feeling of needing right here, right now, learning in a really dynamic, slightly chaotic environment, it resonates.
Exactly. And that really is the through line, isn't it? Across these fields that seem so far apart, defense, biopharma, global maritime travel, Ed Reif consistently designs learning for what he calls high consequence, high ambiguity environments. The specific tools change, the subject matter changes, but that core demand for immediate, reliable competence, that stays the same. It really is about preparing people not just to know something, but to be able to do it flawlessly when it truly mattered.
So we've got the why he builds these systems,
yeah,
and we've seen where he's applied them in these really diverse settings. Now let's get into the how. How does this architect of confidence actually construct these systems? What are his methods? Can we look at some specific projects from his portfolio?
Right, the how. Well, his approach is deliberately medium agnostic, which fits perfectly with that not about the platform idea we just discussed. He uses a whole spectrum of learning methods. Things like ILT, that's traditional instructor-led training, VLT, which is virtual instructor-led, live scenarios, and complex digital simulations. But the crucial point, he stresses, isn't the specific tool. It's always the outcome. He puts it plainly, whatever the medium, my job is to ensure that the right knowledge is in the right hands at the right moment. So he'll choose each method very carefully based on how well it can simulate the real-world conditions, provide that immediate, relevant feedback, and really ensure consistent application of the skill when it counts. Different skills just demand different approaches to get to that first-try effectiveness.
And his portfolio really brings this to life. He uses some incredibly vivid descriptions, these powerful analogies. Let's start with one, the OSHA training platform. He describes it as a comprehensive safety harbor.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. It perfectly captures what that project aimed for. He explains it like this. Like navigating treacherous waters, this platform guides users through essential safety knowledge with the precision of a seasoned maritime officer. See, it paints safety training not as some dry checklist you have to get through, but as a vital survival skill, providing clear guidance through situations that could be genuinely dangerous. The goal isn't just to inform people, it's to equip them to actually navigate hazards, make smart decisions, keep themselves and others safe. It's about building that deep, almost intuitive understanding of safety, not just memorizing rules.
Okay, then there are his aerospace ventures. This includes work with places like Anduril Industries and Southwest Airlines. He calls these strategic waters where sky meets sea. That's a neat metaphor for that blend of defense and commercial aviation.
It is, yeah. And the analogy he uses here is just as compelling, I think. He says it's like poker strategy applied to flight operations. Every decision calculates risk and optimizes for authentic excellence. Now, that really elevates things like aviation safety or defense readiness beyond just following routine procedures. It frames them as strategic decision making. Imagine, say, a pilot facing a critical split-second decision with incomplete information. It's not just about following a checklist, right? It's about assessing probabilities, understanding the table, the weather, the aircraft status, air traffic, and then making the most optimal, lowest risk play on the first try. Just like a skilled poker player relies on calculated strategy, not just luck. It's about building that calculated confidence under pressure.
He also talks about ID and AI integration, describing it as navigating the confluence where industrial design meets artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
That sounds like pretty uncharted territory for a lot of us, a really fast-moving space.
It absolutely is, and his analogy helps visualize it. He says, it's like reading wind patterns from Fair Isle's cliffs. This project interprets the signals of technological evolution in conscious design philosophy. So this isn't about rigid step-by-step instructions. It's more about developing an intuitive sense for this rapidly changing landscape of tech and design. Like a seasoned sailor reads subtle clues in the environment. It's about teaching people how to anticipate change, how to understand those subtle shifts, and how to design consciously within that constant fluidity rather than just reacting after the fact.
And finally, there's his 2025 Design Journey Archives. He refers to this one as a captain's log of creative evolution.
Yeah, that phrase perfectly encapsulates this idea of a journey, continuous learning, adaptation. He notes how it documents his own mindful wandering through design challenges from Afghanistan's lessons to Gibraltar's insights. It's really a testament to the idea that even someone who architects confidence for others is constantly learning, reflecting, and adapting themselves based on real-world experiences in all these demanding places. A powerful reminder that becoming an expert is, well, it's an ongoing voyage.
What's really fascinating to me here is how these analogies, these metaphors, they make incredibly complex ideas feel so much more relatable, more memorable, and they tie directly back to the environments people inhabit. Just like his insight from the cruise ship, they really stick with you.
They absolutely do. And that raises an interesting point for us, maybe for you listening too. How do these vivid analogies actually become part of that system of confidence? By linking these sometimes abstract concepts to concrete, often high-stakes scenarios, they create a kind of mental framework. It helps foster quicker understanding and, crucially, more reliable recall when it really matters. So they're not just, you know, decorative illustrations. They become integral to the learning architecture itself. They give learners a mental hook to hang complex information on, making it easier to pull out and apply correctly, especially under pressure.
This has been a really insightful deep dive into Ed Reif's philosophy. We've explored how he functions as a true learning architect, focusing not just on the content itself, but on building these entire systems of confidence designed to make sure learning lands effectively right on the first try. His experiences in these high-consequence, high-ambiguity environments, from, you know, military operations in Kabul to biopharma compliance needing FDA approval, even managing learning on a world cruise, they all demonstrate that precision isn't just some abstract goal. Often, it's genuinely a matter of survival.
Indeed, it really underscores the weight of that responsibility. And as we wrap up, maybe we can leave you, our listener, with a challenge to consider. If you were tasked with designing a learning system for a truly high-stakes moment in your own life or work, what would you prioritize? How would you go about ensuring not just knowledge transfer, but that genuine confidence and that real-world effectiveness on the first try? Think about those situations where there's just no margin for error. And maybe keep Ed Reif's powerful insight in mind, that learning is about the people and the environments they inhabit much more than it is about the specific platform or tool. It really comes down to understanding the context, understanding the human element at the very core of every learning challenge. What environment are you learning in right now, and what does it truly demand of you?